like, what's going on here, right? I was like, hold on. Where I'm from, friends don't sleep with friends' husbands. Today, we're going to talk about a show that you guys actually recommended to me that I absolutely loved. It is called Marry My Husband, and you guys wanted to see a breakdown. The relationship that I said that I found the most fascinating was the relationship between Soo-min and Ji-won, the two quote-unquote best friends in the show, and I loved that it was like a romance that included this friendship element because I feel like so few romances do. Just to give you like a little bit of a rundown without any spoilers of what the gist of the show is, basically it's about a woman. She's in her late 30s when the show picks up, and she is dying of like terminal stomach cancer. The first scene is like her in the hospital. Her best friend comes to visit her. They talk, and then you see her best friend driving home. So Ji-won's the one with the cancer. Soo-min's the best friend. Soo-min goes home, and she's like hooking up with Min-won, who is Ji-won's husband. So you're kind of like, let me get my tea. Like, what's going on here, right? I was like, hold on. Where I'm from, friends don't sleep with friends' husbands. But basically, within that episode, Ji-won ends up having to leave the hospital because her husband, Min-won, has not been paying her hospital bills, despite the fact that she was the only one working when she got sick, and most, if not all, of the money should be her money. So she has to leave the hospital, and I won't give too many spoilers, but basically, she gets home, catches them, there's an altercation, Ji-won dies, or so we think. She wakes up, and it's 10 years in the past. So it's basically a story about someone who gets a do-over after living like a very tragic, very sad life. And we get to see the different decisions she makes, the different outcomes she experiences, and what it looks like for someone to have a do-over in their lives with the benefit of hindsight. I talked about this a little bit on Instagram. This is a very fascinating plot to watch play out because I am someone who has had pretty much all of my heartbreak be in the friendship space, not in the dating space. And I actually kind of like was a little more vulnerable than normal because I explained the reason why I haven't spoken about friendships is because I feel that when you've been really hurt in a given area, you're maybe not the best person to give advice, just from my perspective, because I feel like having been really hurt, there are some blind spots. I'm still really all about, you know, relationships with women, and I have really great relationships with amazing women who are happy themselves and content and fulfilled and confident themselves, and that's the only way like a friendship really works with me. But having had some really negative experiences in friendship, I just didn't feel like I was the one to kind of talk. I think there was something healing about it, and I think there was also something very like refreshing about it, because I feel like it was very intelligently done, sort of how the two characters played off of each other. As Ji-won starts to make different decisions in her newfound confidence and newfound like determination to be a happy person and live a happy life, you kind of see Soo-min also start to evolve and almost up the ante in terms of her toxicity and how far she's willing to go to hurt and undermine Ji-won in every way to make sure that she's never as happy or more happy than her. So I think what was really healing for me with that is, as much as I've had a lot of heartbreak and betrayal in my friendships, as much as I've had people, you know, around me who did not wish me well and went out of their way to try and sabotage me, there was always a part of me that felt kind of a nostalgia for the relationship, friendships that lasted years and years, and feeling like I missed this person and feeling like, did I make the right decision by deciding to cut this person off or by deciding to take a step back from the friendship? And I often found myself like second guessing and thinking, you know, oh, did I make the right choice? Was I too harsh? Was I too hard on this person? They also had a lot going on. But I think watching this show was really healing because it demonstrated that like the better life gets for you, if you're around someone like that, the more desperate they become and the more dangerous they actually become. So I felt just very affirmed watching it, knowing that like, yes, you might have some moments that you miss with that person, and yes, it does hurt, But ultimately, you made the best decision for yourself, for your well-being, sometimes even for your safety, to step back from someone who clearly has a problem with your joy and your happiness and good things happening to you before things really start to take off. For me, just like in the past couple years, so many amazing things have happened in my life, and I know that it doesn't even compare to like what's coming for me. So knowing that the wrong people were not in my life to cause any sort of confusion, sabotage, or anything like that was just kind of affirmed in watching this plot play out, if that makes sense. I kind of did like a little bit of a breakdown of all of the things that stood out to me about Soomin's character. I remember I made a video or a couple videos years back about friendship, but having learned even more, I was able to identify some red flags in Soomin, and we can consider this video as like a video about vetting friends, right? Because we talk a lot about vetting guys, we talk a lot about vetting partners. First of all, hats off to the actress because she did an outstanding job playing this character. She was so believable. Every time she got on screen, I was like yelling at the TV. Like, she had so much complexity. So she had this crazy explosive temper wrapped in this super cute, sweet, innocent like demeanor, but just like the most horrible, evil human being you could possibly imagine, which like kind of bleeds into my next point, which is that she's highly manipulative. And I've had friends like this who would do something completely just awful to me. Something that's just like, I would tell other people, and this is the craziest thing, because in real time I would tell like friends who were actually good friends, and they'd be like, "What? Like, who does that? Why would you go for that? Why would you ever let her say that about you? Why would you ever let her say that to you in front of like, or in this situation? Like, that's not okay." And I would always know that they were right, but these people are so good at like apologizing and, you know, making you feel like it was an honest mistake and they didn't mean it like that. And you know, I would never hurt you, right? Like, so manipulative. And it's really hard to see past that because obviously this is your friend. You love this person, right? Like, you care about this person and you want to be on good terms with them. You miss them when you guys aren't in a great place. So when they come and they apologize, you're already inclined to forgive them. And they're so good at making it seem like they meant you no harm. And that happens like a couple times in the show where Soomin is literally sleeping with her friend Jiwon's man and is at the same time like apologizing and making amends. And it's so believable that like as the viewer, you almost believe her in these moments, and you almost like, you could almost like so close. At one point, like there's one scene where she apologizes and I'm like, man, Jiwon's being kind of like cold. And like in that moment, I was like, wow, like that's the part of me that felt guilty in these places or in these situations where I like was stiff with a friend who was apologizing to me, even though I knew like in my heart of hearts that like this apology isn't genuine and this person is just going to do it again. But you almost feel like you're not being a nice person or you're not being a good friend by not just hearing them out and not just accepting their apology. There's like a very deep-seated insecurity and a misery that kind of defines who she is as a person. And I used to believe naively that just because someone was insecure or just because someone was unhappy with their own lives doesn't mean that they can't be a good friend to me. I would always feel like, well, you know, at the end of the day, they're going through some insecurities or they're just not as confident, but that doesn't mean that they can't be a good friend. That doesn't mean that I can't be a good friend to them and hopefully like influence them, because I've always been a very confident and very fulfilled and very content person. I think that's just one of the blessings that I have. Even when I've been in spaces where like life is not going exactly how I want it to, I always find a way to be content with where I am. And that just creates a lot of peace for me. So I don't know, I think maybe I was a little bit naive about that, but what we see with Soomin and Jiwon is Soomin's misery makes it pretty much impossible for her to tolerate any level of happiness or joy in Jiwon's life. They explain kind of where her resentment for Jiwon comes from, and it's like unhinged. I can't even. And I think what they did really beautifully is that Jiwon had kind of a similar reason, but had a completely different reaction. And I think that's a really powerful demonstration of the fact that people can have the same exact set of circumstances, the same exact experiences, the same exact setbacks, letdowns, disappointments, But what comes out of that depends on how that person decides to interpret and respond to that. That's something that I've always very strongly believed. Your experiences don't have to define the rest of your life. Your experiences don't have to be a permanent limitation to your mindset, to your belief systems, to your patterns of behavior. Like, you can decide how you choose to interpret what's happened to you and what you do moving forward. The way they played the two characters off of each other in that scene was so powerful, because it's like, wow, same exact scenario, same exact situation, two completely different responses. And that just tells you a lot about a person. With anything, right? Like, when it comes to dating or when it comes to like a friend, I feel like the easiest time to leave is as early as possible, right? Like, for me, years into some of these friendships, you get really used to it, and you don't understand that, like, no, this isn't normal. It's not normal for friends to make underhanded compliments to you. It's not normal for friends to say things to make you feel bad about yourself. It's not normal for friends to downplay you, right? Like, I once had a friend say to me, this is a friend that I was with for, or friends with for a very, very long time. And one of the things she said to me is, she was like, she's a Nigerian. And she was like, I was talking to my sister and I was telling her that, like, you know, everywhere we go, like, you always get a lot of attention and guys are always coming up to you. And I was telling her how pretty you are and how everyone says you're so beautiful. You know what she said? It was so funny. She was like, I mean, she's okay. Like, in Nigeria, she would just look like everybody else. Like, she just looks like the average person walking down the street in Nigeria. Like, she would never be anything special there. And I was like, oh, she said that? And she was like,
yeah, it's not so funny.
When I told my sister this, she was like, I want to fight. Like, she got so mad. But in the moment, I was so used to her speaking to me that way that, like, it didn't register as, like, something that was not nice to say, if that makes sense. And this is what makes it so complicated, is because there's always, like, a compliment in there. So it's like, you feel dumb being offended by it. My inner dialogue would be like, why would I get mad at her for something like that? It's not that serious. But the fact of the matter is, like I said, like, what this show indicated is that these people become more and more dangerous the more that they feel triggered or threatened by the good things that happen to you. So as Jiwon got more and more happy, because now she has the benefit of hindsight, now she's making better decisions, now she values herself and has self-respect, now she has boundaries, now she has standards, right? And her environment begins to respond to that. This triggers Soomin to get more desperate and more conniving and more evil and more terrible towards her, to the point that it actually poses a danger to her in a couple ways. It is a good idea to not wait until it gets dangerous before you decide to phase out of their lives. And like I said, like, you can gradually start to create distance between you and this person. Like, I've learned to do that. And I think that's a really great way to deal with people like this. But another thing with Soomin that I noticed is this competitiveness. And I feel like this competitive attitude, disposition, is a lot more common than I realized. I've never really been a competitive person. My attitude in life has always been like, there are things I want to do, there are things that are important to me, there are things that I am passionate about, and then there's everything else. When I went to law school, I knew, okay, I want to do well in my classes, I want to challenge myself, but I never had that competitive, like, what'd you get, like, where are you ranked? There's excellence, there's, you know, doing your best, but I don't think this attitude of competing with your peers on every little thing is conducive to peace of mind and even thriving in that space. Soomin is competitive to the core, as in on her inside, she is competitive. It was crazy. What this really demonstrated for me is like a hunch that I've always had, which is that competitive people, especially when it gets out of control, can never truly be happy. Living for competition puts you in this place where there's always a winner and there's always a loser. That must be a terrible, stressful way to live, because even when you do get the best spot, you're constantly living in fear and apprehension of someone taking that from you. And I feel like that was like a lot of what defined Soomin's character, is she couldn't couldn't just be content and happy where she was. If there was someone who had something that she didn't have, or if there was someone who was better off than her in some way, especially if that person was Jiwon, she could not deal. Like, she couldn't tolerate it. And I feel like that's, like, at its core what makes being a competitive person so unhealthy, at least to me. Like, that's why I'm like, no. And because she was competitive, she was a character assassin. And I feel like this is how these, like, toxic people work, is it's not enough for them to sabotage you. It's not enough for them to undermine you and do underhanded compliments. They also need to lower your status in the eyes of other people. Soomin does something absolutely unhinged on a number of different occasions to try and assassinate Jiwon's character, to tarnish her reputation. And this is, like, really where they thrive, because this benefits them in two ways. One, they always get to feel like they're better than you, not just when it's you two, but in the eyes of other people. Two, it puts them in a position where they can control you more, because if people don't like you, now you only have one friend. So even when, you know, you might pick up on the fact that, like, oh, this person's a terrible friend, I think they actually hate me, by the time they're done with you, no one else even wants to be friends with you. Congratulations. Now you're stuck. And that's, like, abuse 101, isolation. So that's a big element of it as well. I feel like if you see that in a friend, cut that person off. That's a situation where it's like, this person is clearly trying to isolate you, and this person is clearly trying to put you in a place where you don't have any other options but them. That's indicating at least very mild levels of obsession, and that person absolutely deserves to be cut off. Envy, I feel like, self-explanatory, goes without saying. She wanted to be Jiwon. She wanted everything Jiwon had. She was very envious, extremely envious of, kind of, despite everything she had done and despite everything that Jiwon had been through, people still were gravitated towards her. Like, Jiwon got the guys that she wanted. Jiwon got the job that she wanted. Jiwon, you know, had a lot of the experiences that she really wanted. And I feel like this is the funny thing about life, is sometimes it looks like bad people get away with things and enjoy so many positives. But at the end of the day, I really do feel like, at least in some way, shape, or form, things shake down the way that they're supposed to. Okay, I feel like everything hidden comes to the light eventually. And, you know, you can be an ugly, nasty person and wrap it up in, like, niceties and two-facedness and all of that. But eventually, it's going to catch up to you. You can make up rumors about people. You can backbite people. You can make up stories about people. You can post things that are nasty online to people that you've never met and who have done nothing to you. And it feels so satisfying to you, I'm sure. Like, in your miserable life, it feels like you have done something, and you might feel a little bit of relief. But what you'll find is that that is like a drug that, you know, wears off before you know it. Every single time you do it, you need another hit. You need another hit. You need another hit. I'll never fathom being that kind of person. And I thank God that I've never been that kind of person. I pray I'll never become that kind of person. But I want you to know that all that negativity that you spew out into the world, that you spew out at other people, is headed toward you in an envelope with your name on it, in due measure that you've dealt it. So if that's you and you happen to be on this page, girl, U-turn. Boy, U-turn. U-turn and just turn over a new leaf. It's never too late. You might still pay for the damage that you've done. I'm not gonna hold you, but better to get out sooner rather than later. Another remarkable thing that they captured so well with Soomin, she had a victim mindset unlike anything I have ever seen. This is why I talk about victim mindset as much as I have. I've talked about it in my newsletter. And I remember when I wrote this newsletter about the victim mindset, I actually had someone write me and say, I don't think it's right for you to say that they had a victim mindset. And I'm like, it's always right for me to tell the truth, first of all. And you're never going to be able to tell me what to say in my newsletter. So let's start there. Secondly, a victim mindset is far more dangerous than the act of calling it out. Soo-min did the most awful things to Ji-won. This is the danger of a victim mindset. She did the most terrible things to Ji-won. I've not seen an antagonist like Soo-min in such a long time. Her whole existence revolved around trying to ruin this girl's life for no reason. Because of her victim mentality, despite all the treachery, she still felt that Ji-won set her up. She felt like it was all Ji-won's fault. She honestly, and the thing is, I really feel like she honestly believes that like Ji-won set her up to take the fall. And that's what a victim mindset does, is it robs you of any ability to take accountability for anything. More people than you can probably imagine are walking around with a victim mindset. And that's why we see so many people today who are allergic to accountability. Anytime the conversation of accountability comes up in any way, shape, or form, they go into fight or flight. Now they're looking to fight you. Now they're looking to like try to make you feel dumb. Now they're trying to make you look like you did something wrong. Now like you have to be the bad guy because how dare you call them to task for their role in a situation. And it's insane, but I'm going to tell you something, like the people who will be the happiest in this life, mark my words, the people who will be the happiest in this life are the people who get to a place of learning to take accountability for their role in their experiences, their role in their relationships, their role in their success, their role in their happiness, their contentment. Accountability is the first step. And I'm telling you this because I used to be someone who struggled with accountability when it came to dating and relationships. Like, I would shut you down quick because I'm like, why are you trying to talk to me about accountability when there are men walking around with two families? I feel like they need to be accountable first, and then I'll be accountable. You know, why are you talking to me about accountability when XYZ is doing way worse things? And I hear you guys echo those sentiments to me all the time. Other people can be wrong. Other people can be at fault. Other people can be to blame, and you can still be accountable. Those things are not mutually exclusive. And another thing that I thought was so intelligent, I'll just give this little clip in this scene. Mr. Yu, who is Ji-won's love interest, what's his real name? It's like Yu Juk. I can't pronounce his like name, so I'm just gonna call him Mr. Yu. Mr. Yu meets with Soo-min. And Soo-min is like, I love this scene because Soo-min was like, why do you hate me? And this man said, because, had reasons, okay? He did not say, I don't hate you. No, he was like, because XYZ. He said, you're the type of person that gnaws on the people around you. And you're not trustworthy, so you can't trust other people. And he said something so powerful. He said, you think everyone is like you. And I think that's so true for so many of us. So many of us think that other people are like us, even if you're good, right? Even if you're a good person, a lot of good people, like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that someone could like hate you and be friends with you. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea that someone could just knowingly make something up about you and say it and post it online. Like, things that I just cannot even fathom doing in a million lifetimes. It's hard for me to believe that other people do it. So when people tell me, I'm like, no, there's no way. And they're like, way, here's proof. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that people act like that. That's how it is with evil people as well. Like, they can't trust anybody. They are always trying to sabotage others and pull others down. And it comes from this fear that if they don't get that person first, that person's going to get them. It's like kill or be killed. I feel like that has to be part of it, is they live in a constant state of paranoia that if they do not take other people out first, then their fate is going to be sealed. Like, I feel like they genuinely believe that the world is out to get them because they're terrible people and they know the evil that they're capable of. So how can they be at peace with others? That was a really well done scene. I think it was like, I loved this show because it was so intelligently done. It was not trite. It was not like oversimplified in any way. The character depth was there, but it wasn't heavy. It was like a light, enjoyable show. So Highly recommend for anyone who's in need of a new show to watch. It's super bingeable as well. All the episodes are out. What I loved so much about this story, I love how with Ji-won, for her to start to have better experiences, it wasn't like there was this magic pill, this magic solution, this magic potion. And I felt very affirmed watching this because I was like, this is what I keep trying to tell the women who follow me. This is what I keep trying to share in my content. Is that if you get clear on your boundaries and hold them firm consistently, so that means your boundaries don't shift depending on how fine he is, how much money he makes, how much chemistry there is. No, your boundaries are your boundaries. If you have high standards and those don't shift conditionally as well, if you have done the work to heal, to take accountability, to be someone who readily takes accountability, to be someone who has a balanced perspective and can see the other person's side in a situation. If you take time to develop a life that you are fulfilled by and excited by, when she comes back, you see her start to do that and her entire environment responds. It was so beautiful to see. So where Soo-min was like her only friend and she felt like everyone hated her in her first go round at life, her second go round, when she took a step back from Soo-min, her eyes opened to two people in the same office who would make amazing friends for her. Just by creating space, by no longer giving energy to something that's toxic and to a person who doesn't have good intentions for you, you almost automatically open yourself up to the people around you who do have good intention towards you. I've already recommended it to a couple of my one-on-one clients because I'm like, I want you to see what's possible at the other side of the work that we're doing. I want you to see what so many of my clients have experienced doing this work with me, setting boundaries, developing standards, developing a lifestyle that they're excited about and excited to wake up to, developing passion projects and putting effort into themselves and investing in themselves. I want you to see what happens on the other side of that. And I feel like this show does an excellent job at showing that. Catch me on the flip if you want to see part two, where we talk about the love connection between Ji-won and Mr. Yoo.